Welcome to Side B on this week's Off the Record.
But, you know, Ali, as hawking of a stature as he came to be, he was once a little boy. And what if that little boy found himself inside of a Cincinnati Zoo cage full of gorillas? What would happen? What would occur? We don't know, but maybe we do know, because not even a week ago, maybe just a little over a week ago, this thing encountered. David Perdue, how about you take this one over? Tell us what we're talking about.
This is the most fascinating thing I've ever seen in my life. If you don't know, it was a Cincinnati Zoo. A young boy who was, 4 years old, I believe he said he was four.
Three or four,
managed to get into the gorilla pit.
Managed.
However that happened. And in the process, the gorilla said, "Is that a kid in the gorilla pit?" And the gorilla got curious, went over to the kid.
The gorilla got gorilla is what
gorilla
you're
talking about. Gorilla got gorilla, went over to the kid, but didn't really get gorilla. Like, was just like, "What you doing over here, kid?" And the kid, you know, they don't speak the same language, so they were just looking at each other. Then the gorilla looked up, see all these people yelling, drags the kid away. Looks up again, more people yelling, drags the kid away. Could have killed the kid instantly, doesn't. Next thing he know, bow, shot in the head. They like, "Hey, you ain't supposed to be around that kid." I'm pretty sure he was thinking, "This kid ain't supposed to be around me." I didn't come here,
I was minding my business.
Goodness, just the video itself is, like I said, I've watched this video over 100 times. I've had, every time it shows up, I just like, I gotta see it again. I gotta see what's going on. I've watched commentary where a dude who was training gorillas or been around gorillas tried to talk about how the, you know, Harambe wasn't in an offensive kind of, just like nothing he did was supposed to be dangerous or anything like that. And like, I saw a video, I think in 96, where a young girl, I think, or a young kid fell into another gorilla pit somewhere else, and the gorilla just cared for the child, and then they made an exchange. I was like, wow, that's crazy. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm literally like on some like forensic file cold case, like trying to figure out what could have been done to save this gorilla. Cause I'm not the animal dude, but I know gorillas. And I mean, I don't know gorillas, but I just know that it could have killed the kid, and he didn't kill the kid.
Stand your ground.
Yeah, it's there's so much to say there. No, but I'm just like, wow. Like, I don't know whose side I'm on. First of all,
I'm so surprised that you're potentially even taking, because I thought for sure you were going to come in here and be like, why are people reacting this way?
No, because a part of me.
You're partial.
Here's why. I never thought about this until now. I don't get gorillas in zoos. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this, because if you can sit up here and look at an animal and say, "I can teach you sign language. I can teach you different things that I know as a person," right? Then to give, so you're just like, "I acknowledge there's something in this animal, this creature that is likened to me, and yet I will still cage you." You know what I mean? Like, for me, okay. I'm just like,
is that?
You know what I mean? So I'm like,
there's a lot there too.
Where, you know what I mean? What is this? Because I'm looking at it, and this is me maybe being a little ignorant. I've thought of this for a long time. If you like animals, and I ain't never seen no dog at the zoo. Dogs, you can't teach dogs sign language. You can't teach dogs, you know what I mean? And we domesticate. Anyway, I don't want to get into the dogs, because that's a whole nother idea, a whole nother set of ideas. But I'm pretty sure at one point, Dan, I was definitely going to be like, why do people care? But I started thinking like, what? This gorilla, like, it's very, like, you can teach it color. It knows things. Like, you know what I mean?
So
like,
just so I drill down exactly what you're saying here. I just want to be clear.
Before I go all the way in.
No. I just want to make sure I understand your positioning. Like, I get the part of just not being clear about the utility of gorillas in zoos, period.
Yes.
But in this case, mm-hmm. are you like, yo, the gorilla should have lived? Yo, the mother should have been watching the kid, and as a result, the mother should be prosecuted?
Okay.
Should he just shot the kid and not worried, and like kept the gorilla alive and the mother lost her kid? Like, what are you saying?
Let me be very clear.
Yes, sir.
You should have shot that gorilla.
Okay. When it's all said and done.
None. If that's my kid, or even if it's not my kid, you shoot that gorilla in the head.
Oh, I'm going to shoot him.
And you get him. I'm going to shoot him.
Oh, I'm going to shoot him.
Somebody going. That gorilla's going down.
That gorilla's going down.
That gorilla's going down.
It wasn't a good day.
It sucks that it's that gorilla. Like, you know what I mean? It sucks that it's a gorilla.
Yes.
But that gorilla's got, that's my baby. You know what I mean? So
because the gorilla didn't do anything wrong in the sense.
He knew nothing wrong.
He was unarmed.
He showed up. He was very unarmed.
Yes.
He was unarmed. And he was running away.
Absolutely. Right. Skittles and iced tea. That's all the gorilla
That's
wanted.
All the
but
wild.
I'm just saying.
Wow. Can we know how red Dan is right
sorry.
Now?
Can
we
know? Can I just point out that I will not be saying anything from this point on?
Dan is super red.
No, but your point being.
Yes,
that
I would shoot. I would have shot the girl. I don't get people like you can't shoot. You shoot them because you shoot them tranquil dollars dart. Like I said, I've done not the research, but I've watched enough videos. The dude said if you shoot him tranquilizer dart, he gonna get angry, kick, yeah. get hit.
Right.
And it ain't like immediate. Even, it ain't like the tranquilizer takes effect immediately and right. he just falls out. It's like
a bullet.
Yeah.
I was, like, a bullet has a different effect.
I was thinking maybe tasers. I don't know. Those seem to be effective in people.
With my baby right underneath.
But
them.
You know how people shake when the okay. Continue.
I would have liked to preserve the life of the gorilla, but like I said, I would have shot that gorilla.
Okay.
You've heard my stance. I've loved Harambe, the little I know about him. But if you'd have gave me that gun and said that, I would have shot Harambe right in the eyes.
Okay.
Very
really,
clear on
really
that.
Quick, since then, Dan, would you have advocated for the gorilla being shot? Deep breath.
No.
No. Whoa. Okay. All right.
I just have a real issue.
Now we're cooking.
There's so many issues with this.
Yeah.
There is no whoever designed this enclosure.
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh. Yeah.
The real person we should be talking about is you design an enclosure that a kid is 3 foot nothing
mm-hmm.
finds a way to tumble into.
Mm-hmm.
Impossible. In my mind of like this person has a degree from a college that said you should go do this in the real world now.
Yeah.
They said yeah. And he did it, and apparently made something that a 3 or 9 year old whatever
three or four yeah, he's really
managed
tiny.
To just squeeze through the bars and just tumble into. So problem number one, problem number two is to the point of like there in my mind there was a good chance that the gorilla was not going to kill the kid.
Okay.
So if
is it enough of a chance?
Yeah, I'm about to say you gonna bet on that? Like
if it's my okay, if it's
yeah,
my kid,
yeah, yeah, you shoot that gorilla.
See come how on. It changes just, all immediately.
Yeah, I understand though.
So I'm not gonna go like full like white on you and say like it's such a shame that this animal died
no,
and
nah.
like in the face
I'm with
of
you. It is.
But
it
like
is.
We must acknowledge that there is a difference between some animals and primates and just
mm-hmm.
in general with
okay.
their level of ability to feel and emote and all of these things. I think it is, for whatever reason, as dumb as this sounds, it is extra sad to me that it was a gorilla that got shot.
That is it. I agree with that. I ain't gonna let you go
and
on
so,
by yourself.
And especially with the fact that if it's a silverback gorilla, they're super endangered.
Right.
I have a problem with I literally have this quote that I was just thinking about this past weekend. Like, everything beautiful in this world that we, like, hold up is just amazing and immaculate. Generally, humans haven't touched. And so this is just one more example of, like, humanity, like, taking what is beautiful and sticking it in a cage. And I just
have
a general issue with that. And being the history nerd that I am, like, I know the history of zoos, like, goes back to in France and like how can we just be as rich as possible and show
yeah.
off our riches and there is a level of education and these other things that go with it, so it's not a black and white issue. But at the same time, all of this to say, I would have shot the gorilla and I freaking hate it.
I understand. You bet.
It's just no way Harambe got out of that situation alive.
He did. It wasn't.
You know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah.
just no way he was gonna win. We all have a day. And sometimes it's not a good look. Sometimes there's injustice in this world. And
yeah.
it was an injustice.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Harambe.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is there's no way that gorilla.
We failed you, Harambe.
Yeah, you had no business. You were oppressed.
Right.
You shouldn't have been in there to begin with.
Right.
Facts
you know
only.
What I mean?
Yeah.
You don't even belong here, Harambe.
Yeah.
So, you know.
His name
this
is
right?
Harambe.
I was just thinking that.
You
yeah.
know?
His name is
Harambe.
Harambe.
Like,
oh
this is institutional.
He needs to change his name and be like, I am not. My name is not Cassius Clay.
Yeah.
His name is Harambe.
Oh.
And I don't know. It's, so, I don't feel like there was a way that he got out of there alive because. If he would have started ripping said little boy to shreds,
right.
he gets shot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
does
why
he?
Wait?
I don't know, honestly.
Because I'm thinking if he's mid
yeah, he
swing,
put
he's
him
mid.
Down. Okay.
They're going to put him down.
Okay.
Right, because now he's dangerous and blah,
right.
blah, 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 blah. And then the PR game is
yep.
on full blast.
Totally.
So, you know, as they say in law enforcement, you only got so long to make a decision. And it was 10 minutes, they said.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine what that mother must have been going through, you know? And even the guilt. I think then the other piece too of like the mother.
Sure.
Like, it's like, America, fall back and learn the definition of mercy. Because what parent hasn't done some stuff that nobody was watching, and lucky you, there was no 400-pound gorilla around to drag your baby.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't have time for all that. That really irritates me. I think all the shade and the anger at the mom.
Sure.
Can we be real, real?
Yes.
I was so disappointed it was a black kid.
I know you were. I know.
Because immediately I was thinking, dang, they're going to make us, like, we're going to start seeing little black kids in leashes.
Oh.
And I never thought I'd see that, but after this, I was like, I never seen a little black kid in a leash. But now I'm like,
it's a white thing. For
yeah, sure. And I'm like, it's going to happen. I just imagine a bunch of like, see?
Right.
See?
Right, right.
But leashes.
Full disclosure, I needed a leash when I was 3 years old. Did you? Like, I mean, I was that kid.
You had one?
No, I needed one. Okay. Understood. Never, I was never put in a leash. But if I could have snuck into a gorilla cage at three, I would have, like, I was that kid that was like the best intention parents. I was like, my job in life is to make these people freak out and disappear for like 25 minutes.
It's like, my job.
Like, that was that. What else does a 3-year-old do?
Except absolutely
that.
No. It's a very, like, my nephew is now, he's now 5, but ever since he was like 2, it's like, all right, like, we got to play zone defense.
Like
a prevent, right? Like, nothing's getting behind us as safeties. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things. But you know, it's interesting. So we talk about the zoo design. There's so many elements to it, because we talk about the zoo design of this enclosure. If you've seen it, it looks very easy to get into. Like, very easy. Their position, to some degree, understand. They were like, yo, it's been this way for 30 years. Nothing's never happened. Like, there's never been an issue. There's never been an incident. But there was this time. And as a result, you know, we now have a dead, endangered species. You know, it's over a gorilla. I do think it's, you know, so one of the more recent things that, because people have talked about this ad nauseum, but one of the recent things that came out today was, I think it was the lead attorney, the prosecutor or whatever, because there were, up until this point, it was up in the air whether or not the mother would be charged for a crime. And what ended up happening like around the first, you know, so if we cover the wave of coverage around this, we found out that a boy had, you know, entered into this enclosure and that they had to kill this gorilla. So within a lot of the initial coverage was, man, that mother, the mother, like, they were so upset at the mother, whatever.
So upset at the
and then you had really terrible sites like Daily Mail, who actually posted a criminal history of the father.
That was ridiculous.
Like, to say, like, this shows you the type of whatever. Like,
the type of
whatever, you know what I mean?
Daily Mail is a UK site, right?
It is a UK site.
There's so many times that they put out stories. I'm like, can you just, like, live on the other side
just,
of the pond?
Just stay,
like,
over there with your
don't want you here.
Lack of scruples and ethics. But regardless, so that came out. And then you had a lot of, honestly, and the loudest voice I heard for this was mothers of all races coming out saying, yo, my kid, like my kid, I've lost my kid like 3 and 4 times this week. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so there was a very loud, like, kind of rebuttal to that level of, like, demonizing and witch hunting that occurred for the mother, which I think was, I was very happy to see that. But it didn't stop them having to actually cover whether or not this, whether or not the mother was going to be charged for some type of negligence. And so when the prosecutor comes out to speak, David, you could take it away.
Yeah, so when the prosecutor comes out to speak, he starts off okay. What I saw. So I saw fine. He's saying, look, he's like, hey, you know, we had to take it down. It wasn't the mother's fault. She, for all accounts, he said for all accounts, she was doing a great job watching her kids. And then he said, it's not like she was in the bathroom, which would have been fine if he'd stopped there.
It would
have been okay.
It would have been
like,
fine.
You're right, man. It's not like she was in the bathroom. Then this fool went and said, it's not like she was in the bathroom smoking crack.
God.
First of all,
Fail.
Who's going to the zoo to smoke crack?
The zoo bathroom.
Yeah, like, the zoo bathroom. Like,
they got the best crack.
If there was ever a crack-free zone, I would imagine it is a bathroom.
Cincinnati
Zoo. Like, okay. Mm. So, like, where are your people? Like, where are your people at?
This is a don't do that, bro.
But, like, if you watch the video, like, he took time to process, like, the example that he was going to use. And it was just like, he's like, it's not like, all right, I'm going to get this right. Crack. Crack is what she could have been doing, and she wasn't. Everybody happy with that? Like, no, you didn't have to say crack at all. You could have just been like, she was negligent a little bit, but she wasn't the worst. Like, crack. Oh. So anyway,
it's terrible. But I would like to throw out something maybe that will kind of send us in an interesting direction. I don't think she should be charged criminally, but I do think that she should be financially responsible for this gorilla.
I think the zoo should.
The zoo, they have insurance.
Their zoo isn't 3-year old.
So if, okay, for example,
How are you financially? How does that play out? I'm curious.
So I'm sure if I'm at a zoo and I throw something into the gorilla cage that ultimately kills that gorilla. Mm. The zoo's probably going to come to me and say, you killed our gorilla.
Fair.
We all have acknowledged that there was no choice that could have been made to not kill the gorilla. So we're basically saying that the child going into the cage is what killed this gorilla.
Are we saying that?
Yeah, we are.
I think the lawyer is saying that, though. Huh? I think there's a lawyer will argue that.
Yes. There is no other option once the kid enters the cage than to kill the gorilla. So it is the kid that killed the gorilla. You could argue that it's not the bullet that killed the gorilla.
No, I'm going to argue that it's the zoo. It made in case that's not 3-year-old proof. You know what I'm saying?
Somebody else is constantly arguing that you didn't have to. So I think the argument is, did they have to kill the gorilla? So I feel like you could argue it either way.
We decided that there was no other option, regardless of our different various views about the gorilla, that there was another option. So my point is that I think that this mom was negligent to an extent that she should be financially responsible. Now, that are we just having fun with the conversation now?
Yes. A little bit.
So it's really weird because on one level I'm like I have the full-throated defense of like of the mother in the sense of like, you know, hey, like it just happens. Like it happens.
It does.
Even though it happens doesn't mean it's not negligence.
Right.
Like those two things can be the same. Right. Like it's kind of what you were saying earlier, Yvette, that just like, it likely happened in a lot of our childhoods with our parents where they might've missed something, but it just didn't involve a Harambe. It didn't involve a gorilla that had to be, that was killed in the way. And so I'm curious, like, I would not want to or try to hold the mother financially responsible, but I begrudgingly understand your argument that you're making.
I mean, at the same time, though, like, the zoo is responsible because how'd he get in there?
Yeah,
how'd he get in there? If he went down there, he should have been like, dang, you know, I can't get through. You know what I mean? I guess I should go find my mom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so even as high as it was, you could tumble in that mug. I was like, you know, I don't know where they are with these phones right now, but I'm emotional. And, you know, I mean, even the way that was. And what I think the more intelligent thing to do is they need to look, all the zookeepers in America need to get together and look again at how they protect the animals and the people that are there. You know, I think they've been negligent. I think the zoo's been negligent for a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's just goodness and mercy. More people haven't gotten eaten alive. Yeah. So we should just praise God and change the rules.
Yeah.
I love it. And again, I was a lawyer in my former life, so these types of conversations are just fun. I totally agree with you that there's no way that the child should have ever been able to get into the pen.
Yeah. How do you get in there?
But I do, I'm like, as somebody that probably underwrote that insurance policy, I'm just like, oh man, I feel for you, bro, because you just lost your, you probably just shut down your firm because yeah. you're paying for an endangered animal now.
Yep.
It's bad business. I would say that, did we confirm the age of that child? Was it three?
It's three or four.
It's three or four. Because I feel like I heard varying reports. Like yeah. Some...
Either like whatever the age is, that child would still be under the age of the convicted Stanford swimmer. Okay,
ooh,
who
you better transition
was?
Right. I wasn't ready for that.
We're moving right along.
Wow. Okay, show ain't here. Okay, we ain't about to just dilly dally on these subjects now. So no, like for those that don't know, there was a Stanford swimmer. Who was convicted of rape. He raped an unconscious girl, and he was then given by the judge much less than 3 years.
Can we say his name?
Oh yeah, we should make his name.
Yeah, put his name out there.
We should make his
Brock Turner.
Brock Turner.
20. 20 years old.
20-year-old Brock Turner.
Yes.
Three counts.
Was
of
convicted.
Felony.
Yeah, was convicted in March of the intent to commit rape of an intoxicated unconscious person, penetration of an intoxicated person, and penetration of an unconscious person. So those were the three separate charges. With that being said, he was not convicted for the 3 years or the 4 years that of, you know, of a child who could eventually find themselves inside of a gorilla cage, but he was only convicted for 6 months. Actually, that's what he was sentenced to, 6 months. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, it not to be served in prison either, mm-hmm. like a local jail or wow. along those lines.
State is this?
It is. Is it California?
Yeah,
right,
sure Stanford.
Yeah, Santa Clara County. And
note to self.
Yes.
Yo,
that's what you pay for to get out there and those high property values. But nonetheless. The judge, Aaron Persky.
Yeah, say that name too.
These things need to live in infamy or whatever. Yes. Said that Turner's age and lack of criminal history made him feel that imposing a 6 month jail sentence with probation was appropriate. He said he, and this is a direct quote, "I wanted to give him a prison sentence. A prison sentence would have a severe impact on him. Man. I think he will not be a danger to others." End quote. So,
boy.
Yo, I'm looking in the judge's history. I think he got some bodies.
Man. So
he done did some dirt. Cause like, what is that?
Yeah. Where's your conscience?
Like, this is him forgiving himself at some point.
Exactly.
In his
exactly. Oh, so he didn't mean it. I didn't mean it.
Yes.
My brother didn't mean
I'm
it.
I'm not gonna forgive myself.
The gorilla didn't mean it.
Yeah. Nobody meant it.
So the prosecutor, they had asked for a sentence of 6 years in prison. For this January 2015 assault. In turn, they just read years wrong and gave him months instead. And as a result, by Monday afternoon, there were more than like 86,000 people had signed on to a petition to recall Persky as the judge, which is a possibility in California where judges are elected. But what has also come out today more so is kind of just some additional coloring that occurred. One such thing was two dueling letters were both read in court or just both were submitted. I think you said the victim,
I think she read
her letter.
That makes sense. Yeah. That's more falls in line with
she read
and so you read that.
Oh, I couldn't even read it in full.
Oh, really? I'm reading it now.
It was so sad. Hmm. I could not finish it. I read as much of it as I could, and I just got angry. I was like, "This makes
no sense
to tell her to have the judge tell her that one, we don't believe you. Basically, mm-hmm. we don't believe you. Two, his life means so much to me, and he's the one that's accused of he's the one that did this." We don't want to ruin his life. Like, that is the biggest slap in the face. I don't want to ruin this man's life for you.
I don't value
you. And you're the victim. You are the victim. And I don't want to ruin his life. Like, I could not finish it. It was one of the most, it was the hardest read that I had. And for her to be, it was such, what I read, such detail and like just
very graphic.
Very graphic, but also just like, you could feel the pain. Like, yeah, wow. Like her life, my life has changed.
Yeah.
And this person did it, and you're going to look me in the eye. And especially the part where they were asking her all the questions, you know what I mean, about her history and like, why did you wear this cardigan? Why are you drinking this? Like, why are you asking me? I'm the one that woke up unconscious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm the one with my body, you know, being violated. Yeah. And I'm at fault. Like, I just don't understand how that is even.
Okay. Let me finish this part up and then I'll ask like my question. Cause also what came out was also a letter from Brock Turner's father.
Say his name.
Yes. I don't have it. Dan Turner. Dan.
Oh, yeah. Really? Come on.
Popular name.
Yes. So he wrote that, you know, his son will never be his happy-go-lucky self with that easygoing personality, man, and welcoming smile. He writes a letter in defense of his son, obviously writing that his son, you know, his son's life has been changed now. His son now is a victim, and that he, you know, what has gone mostly viral is the statement that he believes he does, you know, the asking for 6 years, he believes that that's too much of a penalty for 20 minutes of action is what he called the rape. He called the rape 20 minutes of action. So really quick, I'll just say this. There's such an issue with women actually coming forward with regard to sexual assault. It's one of the most underreported, if I'm not mistaken, the most underreported crime. I, as our token woman on this podcast, Yvette, I have to say this. How, on behalf of all women, how do y'all deal with men? Period.
Jeez.
Oh, God. No pressure.
And now we go to side B.
Absolutely.
I know. No
this
pressure.
This is like that Daily Show, like our senior black correspondent. Like our senior.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking on behalf of all women.
Yeah, no. But yeah. But no, just in all seriousness, just in terms of you hearing these types of stories, and this is one in the most recent egregious one. But honestly, there are a lot of stories that come out that are really.
Yeah.
Unfortunate in this way. And so just what are your thoughts about this oftentimes?
I mean, it's just one big, we can't say bad words here.
Yes, you absolutely can.
But it's just one big pile of privilege, quite honestly. It's kind of what I smell. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got white privilege, you've got male privilege, you've got privilege. And that's a dangerous, and it's like kind of across the board. Mm-hmm. And whenever that exists, and just the idea of privilege, the idea of superiority, you know, and the devaluation, and the dehumanization, right? Because that's the only way, like, supremacy is an illusion anyway, but the only way that it stands is that somebody else has to be lesser than. And I think women just deal with that. I mean, that's the world we live in. I'll often talk to my guy friends, like you never worry about going to the gas station, do you? You know, like, I do not go at night. It's like, yo, I better get gas now because, you know, danger. Like, right. There's always this threat, sadly, you know, and it's just so accepted. It's laughable. And it doesn't just start with rape, right? Like, it's all these layers that lead up to it. And there's such a sense of, there's like no accountability. I think a lot of times guys, like when they're together, you know, whether it's from looking at pornography alone to just sort of the common conversation, you know, there's just this, she's not really real.
Wow.
She's not really real, or she exists for my pleasure.
Right.
That's not my sister. There's like this compartmentalization almost, because if it were their sister, they'd be angry. If it was their mother, they'd be angry. But her over there, like, yeah, I don't have any emotion really toward her. And so I don't know. It's like, we got to raise better boys.
Yeah.
I think. And there's so much, I think there's so much conversation for women, you know, take classes so you can protect yourself. Like, but I don't know. There's just no, there's not enough conversation. It should be a required course, like consistently for boys throughout school, I think, to, you know, grow some emotional intelligence.
Right. I was going to suggest, like, I think somebody said like that her letter should be required reading.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, honestly, come like it really, like I said, I couldn't finish, but like, I was just like, this
is disgusting.
It's disgusting. And it's, man, it's very, for someone who's, I feel like I've matured, and I'm 29 now, matured, but like, even like someone, I was like, I feel like I've grown and kind of understand, like, not understand, but like, and then reading, I was like, oh, I have so much more. I have so much more to learn. Yeah. I have so much more to, and then you start thinking, and you talk about like that training young man and stuff like that. You start realizing that like, you got to snuff out the smallest of that mentality. So like it happened at a party, right?
Right.
Or initially it happened at a, like, well, ended up happening at a dumpster, like the deed or whatever. But like there had to have been, you look at it, and I'm going to colleges or parties. I don't know what it is. Just like that, there's this dude groupthink or whatever.
Right.
And you don't always say something, or you're just like, we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be the dude that's quote unquote, like, whatever, right?
Calling somebody,
or even if they're not, then you don't be like, what do they call it, cock block or whatever. Like, you don't want to be that dude.
Right.
But then, I don't know. It's like, yeah, you have to, like she said, you should be conscious.
You should be conscious.
You know what I mean? And like, for so many people, this dude included, like, you don't even, yeah, like, one, it wasn't a person. So it's like, it's just like, there's this thing that I want.
It was action. It was 20 minutes of action. I'm entitled to do it. And then also just the sense that she's a whore. She wanted it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's me. I'm a man. Of course she wanted it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, how could I be denied? How could I be undesirable?
Right.
You know
what
I mean? Right. Like, God, no, tell me no. Like, never no. I'm me. I'm Brock. What's his name?
That's his name.
You know, like, I'm Brock. I'm 20. I'm amazing.
I've never been told no my entire life.
You certainly don't get to tell me no. You learn those values clearly because listen to his father, right? Like, it came from somewhere and it came from him.
Yeah.
And so, the whole,
I think that's, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but that's really, I want to hit on that point. Like, where does it come from, right? Because we're coming on the heels of Baylor and their coach being dismissed with a culture of basically saying this exists, this isn't good, but in reality, kids are going to have fun.
Right.
And I say that with all of the air quotes in the entire world.
Certainly.
I have an idea in mind, but I would love to hear what y'all think about where does this come from? Because I would like to say it's a white male privilege where the kid grew up with certainly I grew up with some of these kids, and I know stories that break my heart of in high school and in college of situations happening where it really was that this kid really grew up having never been told no, and that really was the core of it. But it's across socioeconomic lines. It's across country. Like, you just go to like other countries, Far East, these other places where it's just this. So what is it that causes this just degradation of women?
The first parallel that I had in my mind was like when you think of like police officers acting unruly because they know that they're protected.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And it's very similar with men. Like, you
that's right.
There are enough of these situations that you know you could just be like, I didn't do that.
Right.
I can justify it.
Like, she, you know, and then it's your word against her. So there's a certain level of white, this male protection where across the board where it's like, why would they, like, they're not going to believe her. They're going to believe me. You know what I mean? And then all, if you look at it, I mean, you talking about, so not 9 out of 10, the judge is probably a man. You know what I mean? Like, that's why
there's
the
layers to it.
There's a lot of layers. So like, if there's no woman represents, there's no one gonna have your side. So there's so many layers of protection, and I feel so many layers of protection that I feel like enable this mentality that, well, yeah, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? I know I'm gonna be okay.
Yeah, you know, it's not equitable.
Yeah, I would say, and I was trying to look for this graph, but I can't find it at the moment. But I. To echo everything that is being said, like, I completely agree. I think that there's a level of there's layers of failure that occurred for this person, right? But it happens across the board with our culture. And I think that, you know, you get to this point where you say, I would never, you know, I wouldn't, you know, rape someone. That's not what I do. You know, you have this level of that, right? But there's like progressive steps that move someone to the mentality to say to where they eventually get to these points where they're like, that's mine. Like, mm-hmm. I can take right. that. You know what I mean? Right. And some of that deals with, you know, rampant like porn culture, right? Mm-hmm. Which is just a very real thing. Whether you're, you know, if we're being really real, whether you're in the church or not in the church, regardless, it just is what it is. In this particular case, right, I think you do have those layers of privilege, right, where it's white, high, you know, socioeconomic status, you know, I'm assuming relatively well, and male privilege, but this is not a white man problem. Is a man problem. Right. Most right. recently, there is a handle on Twitter called Raped at Spelman. Mm. And it was a woman who anonymously, a student at Spelman who anonymously shared her rape story with that handle. Mm. She was raped by 6 Morehouse men. And for those that don't know, myself, as well as David, are mm. Morehouse graduates, all male school here in all male HBCU, historically black college here in Atlanta, Georgia. And Spelman is all women HBCU. But nonetheless, she shared her story in these series of tweets and people began to reach out to her and whatever. And, you know, you add that, you add people who, you know, there's a woman who was carrying the mattress around right. of that where she was raped on. This wasn't in Spelman, but this was
another protest.
Yeah, yeah, like because
another campus, a college campus.
Yeah, wow. She brought her case. She like identified her accuser, everything, and nothing happened to him. He was back on campus. So as this form of protest, she carried her mattress with her everywhere, like to class, everywhere, just to be like, this is this stain, this scarlet letter that I have on my life. Yeah. All this is to say that this doesn't know a color in that way, right? It plays out different ways, right? Because I think what came out with the Spelman situation is there's these layers of kind of black protectionism right. that occurs where women themselves often feel like, man, I don't want to be another person that is adding to the burden of
the black man.
A black man. Am I betraying like my race? And honestly, that played out as well with Dr. Bill Cosby as well. The black women who were assaulted often felt like, man, this is this beloved black figure in this community. I don't want to be the one to have to say this or whatever. But, you know, not to just put it there. But like I said, I have homegirls, I have sisters who like it was interesting. The first time I realized you talked about like all of the precautions you make as a woman. And so many of those things are important for us to hear because we don't think along those lines ever. Like it just doesn't cross our minds. I remember the first time that ever happened is I was at a spot here in Atlanta that I don't think is open anymore, but it was called Vegas Nights. Mm-hmm. And my homeboy's girl had shown up and she was with her friend. And I was like, oh, you want me to get you a drink or whatever? And she knew me the girlfriend of my homie knew. She was like, yeah, you know, give me a drink. And then I got her a drink and then I just went and got her friend a drink too and because came
it
back.
Was the gentleman
yeah,
because
I'm
do.
Thinking like, yeah, I got y'all this, whatever. And she just looks at it like, nah, she just declines me. And I'm like, what? Like,
why she throw me shade?
Yeah, like I'm over here trying to be nice or whatever. And she's just like, nah. And it wasn't, I didn't know what happened. And it wasn't until later that night the one I'm very cool with pulled me to the side and was like, hey, like my friend didn't mean anything by that. She doesn't know you. She don't know what's in that drink. She don't know what I'm giving. And I'm sitting here like,
and my daddy said, don't.
Yeah. But it's something that would have like, my mind just doesn't think that way. And so many men never think this way because we never have to think this way.
I thought that too. Okay. What you just said, I thought that too. Until we literally, me and my wife, we went to her college, her high school graduation, 10-year college or high school graduate or high school reunion.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a bar. I'm not gonna say the bar here in Atlanta. So we go, and the reason we were at this bar and why it hooked up, it was because the person who was playing the party was great friends with who owned the bar, right?
Okay.
Okay.
I say all that to say, I thought what you said, where this is like something I didn't understand and I didn't think most guys understand until, like, apparently, like, the owner of the bar plays this fun game where he plays roofie roulette, where he'll choose one bottle of, like, booze that night and throw a roofie in it. And watch basically people get roofied in his like own establishment. And I only don't blow this guy up because I really don't want to deal with the consequences of being sued for defamatory comments or whatever. Because I can't, I don't know this to be true.
But you need
I'm
to
just
tell
saying,
me, like, before
I'm,
you
but,
I'm
but,
saying,
but after this is done,
you just
give
us the
name.
Thank you.
But no.
I say all that to say is that this was normal part of the conversation. Like, everyone laughed and was
part
like,
of the culture.
Part of like, yeah, like, of course, yeah, roofie roulette, yeah, of course. And I was just, I looked around like,
nah,
no one's like thinking that this game is, that no one should be playing this game. That my question in my mind was, wait, how do you get roofies?
One, right?
Like, yeah. Like, how is no one's sitting here connecting the dots being like, he thought this was a fun game to play because he had extra roofies sitting around and didn't know what to do with
in
them.
In stock.
Like, what?
Yeah, that's insane.
Like, and so I agree with. Unfortunately, I need to disagree to say I think that there's a part of our culture and society that would genuinely say I as a man don't know what it's like to live in that world, and we don't. But there's also this whole other jacked up side of things that there's this whole culture of acceptance.
Yeah,
that this is a real part of. Dude, like, he being a part of a conversation where women and men are staying around and roofie roulette sounds like a good idea. Like, it sounds like an idea. Or remember that night where you got the drink that had the roofie in it and haha, funny. It's just like, there's just this whole and drinking culture and binge drinking culture that leads into a whole kind of like very broken picture of what it's like to entertain oneself at night.
Come on.
So
write that article.
Yeah. I mean,
come on, that's real.
It does lead into one thing I'm very curious about, and I don't want to come across insensitive, but Yvette, I would love for you to speak to, and just, I'm gonna throw the question out. What level as a woman do we as fathers and like basically say, like, not that she was ever at fault, right? But at what time do you say that you are opening yourself up to predators at this point in time? Like, is there a level of common sense to say there are predators in this world? This dude being one of them. Mm-hmm. I would say his name if I had remembered it.
Oh, we talking about Brock?
Yeah, Brock. Dan Brock or whatever. Brock Turner. So he is a predator.
Daddy Dan Turner.
But at what? How do we like? At what do we as a society help women to say, like, why are you should never? I think our blood alcohol content was like 4 times legal limit. I'm tightrope walking on this beat.
Yeah, you're on that Stephen A. Smith right now.
Yeah, because but I think it's an interesting topic to talk about. That it's just like,
it is. It's
you should
important.
Never be passed out. Because there are predators
word, and you don't know who's around you. I think that's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
So, and again, I don't know how to say this as a man because I don't want to ever victim blame in this because there was a predator that took advantage of an innocent, innocent person. But that's also like, I'm not even going to try to draw a comparison.
I think she said it best even in her own words where she said, you know, we were both drunk.
Mm. Yeah.
But I didn't take your pants off and
violate
you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
It's like, yeah, we were both drunk. We probably both should not have been drunk, but you took it to another place that was criminal.
Yeah.
And that was a decision that you made. And I think on one hand, it's like, ladies, don't drink until you pass out. And guys, if you can't handle your liquor and you think you've got a rapist raging on the inside of you, you might not want to get drunk if you know you have issues, right? Yeah. So then you can say that, right? Like, you can't have a drink because...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of those things where it's like you, like, and I understand what, you know, like that, like, concern of like, man, I don't want to cross the line of, you know, victim blaming or shaming the victim and all of those things or whatever. You know, I think what she said is very succinct, very accurate to what the core issue there is. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, whether or not a woman is passed out or drunk, completely naked in front of you, it still does not give you the right to have sex with you. It's like, yeah. Well, I'm turned on, so that means I can have sex with you. No, that's not how it works. Like, it doesn't matter. Does not matter.
And you could find somebody who is. You
probably could, yeah. But from that perspective and from that point, it's just to say, like, you know, I think that it's a fair conversation to have with those close to you, like women close to you, and say, like, hey, as best you can, you know, govern yourself in such a way, because there are these people out there who think and plan for the absolute worst, and they want to do the absolute worst or whatever. That said, if we even like cut even just a sliver of the amount of attention and effort we put into telling women what they need to be doing to not get raped.
Yep, yeah.
If we cut that even a little bit towards totally stop raping, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's on the aggressors. It's not on them to not, you know what I mean?
But also, yes, we have to tell people, we have to tell gentlemen for whatever reason, because we're not smart, to stop raping people. Absolutely. But like, I'm just looking at it like, we got to tell even the people who are not doing the raping, who are seeing what's, have to be like, hey, if you see anything that you can't just sit by and be I don't know what you can. That's something you have to
you
extra.
Gotta check that, right?
If you're going to be extra on anything, it's going to be about this.
Yeah.
Because people's lives are at stake. You know what I mean? Like,
and it starts with, and this was the other thing I thought of earlier, and I, you know, we've kind of moved past this part of the conversation, but also like when we talk about stages and things like that, like even catcalls, right? Even those things that like are very seem like innocent in this way, because it's like just a woman walking. I've heard so many stories of young women or women my age, right, or wherever they are, who talked about that weird, disgusting transition of them being 9-10 years old and the person who was like an uncle to them. And like eventually their body matures and that uncle starts saying really off the wall comments. And, you know what I mean? Like, they're not actually like uncle, but it's just like a father figure person who never checks their their lust and their, you know, object, you know,
objectification.
Them. Yeah, absolutely. And like, I just think that there's these little incremental steps that go that are much earlier than we talk about the actual rape, you know, that. Yeah, you need to be mindful of.
I think too, like there needs to be a conversation about manhood, right? Mm-hmm. And
facts.
What that is and what that is not. And I think that there's sort of this Tony Porter, who owns an organization called A Call to Men, talks about the man box, you know, and all the labels and all the things that are included in that man box. And I think just that aggression, the sexual prowess or what have you, is a part of that. And how often do young men try to act that out? Because, you know, and so to say something, to say like, hey, I don't think we should be using that type of language, right? Would take your man card, and you can't lose your man card.
Right, you know
what I mean? So you turn into a punk at the end of the day, and you hide and you co-sign ideas and beliefs that may or may not really be your own, but you're still a part of the problem because you turn a blind eye to it. Yeah. And then another thing, when you listen to the music, it's like you have no problem repeating the lyrics.
Man.
You have no problem looking at the videos. You have no problem paying for the porn. So it's kind of like, you know, let's not front completely. And at the same time, it's like, who's there teaching you? What king is around teaching you how to manage lust or how to deal with that? Those feelings or whatever in a healthy way. So I think that there has to be a culture of honor. Like there has, you know, and those, the men, like you were talking about, we were talking about artists and entertainers. I think for me, like I have an organization called Raising Kings, and the cry of my heart is that kings would show up and kind of raise the next generation so that we have a different culture happening, and this isn't, you know, and being a gentleman and chivalry and, you know, is more common and not like the random thing in the room.
Right.
Like, how did six men?
Yeah.
Six?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you find you hear like this, but I don't mean to bring up another super heavy topic, but the kid that got the kid that had special needs that was violated by the five dudes in high school, the coat hanger. Wow. Have y'all heard of it? No. Apparently, I'm throwing this out there. I'm sorry, I don't have the details, but it was last week or 2 weeks ago where it came out, and you just stop and you just like. Look, I know I went to a jacked up school with some jacked up kids. That there's a level of like just craziness that like I honestly don't think that could have ever happened at the school I went to. Mm-hmm. Now, that's to say I know there's some terrible things, but it's just like I think to what we kind of said earlier, and I know the porn's like the word that's like don't talk about that. That's like the thing that we all just want to just like not deal with. Mm-hmm. But like that culture, like just the prevalence is destroying this country. Like, and it's destroying every country in the world. But especially just it's the thing that no one talks about here. It's the thing that we want to pretend is like is acceptable. And it's just like you have. I mean. It is literally, I think, destroying the fabric of like what we know to be true and right and wrong and morale and morality. And it's like you have these five kids. Like, what better things do we have to do than violate this kid with like special? Like, what? It just doesn't even make sense. There's a level of mental disturbance, mental issues. Mental illness in this country that we need to deal with and not brush under the rug as. Like you talk about using your privilege, this father's using this privilege. I'm sure these parents of these kids in high school will use their privilege to say, they were just kids. Yeah. They did stupid mistakes. Like, no, like we need to deal with this.
Yeah. It's a tough situation. And I think that there's, you know, we can continue talking about ways in which, you know, the ways in which this needs to be combated. I'm very interested for those out there listening, please tweet, comment to us, let us know your thoughts on this as well as just, you know, your stories and things like this, because I know, you know, we could talk for hours about this, but it's just really, really a tough situation. So I'm glad that you were there to talk about this. We are wrapping up. I think we should probably end with this the scratch of the week. This is what show got us out here doing these days. Scratch of the week. This is just a noun, a person, place, a thing, or whatever that we want to, you know, bring to attention. We want to shout out. It's, you know, whatever. Anybody want to go?
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring back up a topic. So I'm going to bring up the kid that survived the gorilla because he's literally a real life Harry Potter because he was the kid that lived. And Voldemort was the gorilla and died. The child that lived, he'll be forever famous.
There it is. What you got, David Perdue?
Roots.
You stole my
name. Look, all the black people in the room, like, you want to shout out Roots. Shout out to the ancestors.
I should have went first. Like, y'all want to go first? You know where I'm going. I was like, you know where I'm going?
No, but yeah.
Roots for the win.
Talk about it.
I'm gonna hold myself accountable with saying this on microphone, so I make myself do this. I want to write an article for Fourth about Roots because I really want. This is gonna sound crazy. Y'all gonna look at me like I am crazy.
Okay.
I want to see a Roots written from the white perspective.
Okay.
I do. As I was watching Roots, I'm gonna be very quick. This is kind of like my idea. You start looking at Roots, and it's like the way we keep in film and media and stuff like that. It's always like, man, this happened to black people. This happened to black people. This happened to black, and it did. We bore the brunt of what happened. There's no doubt about that, right?
No doubt.
No doubt about that. And as we were talking about privilege earlier, and I had this conversation with my pops, I was like, I don't think we realize that white people are also a victim of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that, like, the fact that you can think that this is okay, and then that continues. You see what I mean? So I was like, somebody should write the white version of Roots, or at least a perspective that's like,
this passed down immaturity.
Because you need to, you have to understand that, like, we weren't the only victims here. Black people were not the only victims here. We were the victims.
Right.
Capital T-H-E, the victims.
Yeah.
But, like, there were other victims of this system. and it's hurting everybody hundreds and hundreds of years later.
Yeah.
So I want to shout out Root, and I didn't like how they took out Fiddler though. I didn't like that. I was cool with the way the first one went, but we just didn't know what happened, and then all of a sudden Fiddler got stepped up to the ball. Like, whoa.
I will say this as a quick chime to your point though. There's an artistic, very good. I think there's an artistic answer to that where a song by artist Brother Ali, who's a white Muslim albino MC out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, one of my favorite MCs, but he has a song called The Travelers, and the first verse is literally describing the Middle Passage on behalf of slavery, and the second verse is from the white perspective, and the whole thing is kind of put together through this context of what white supremacy does. We're in the same car. Mm-hmm. Like white people and black people are in this, wherever it's going, we're going in it together. It's affecting both of us. It's not just hitting one and not the other. We are both bearing the brunt of that. Now, I will say the beat is really whack for that song. So that sucks. But the lyrics are amazing.
A&R and Everett, no matter, you can't help yourself, it, man.
Yeah, I just don't want people to think that I think the beat was dope, because I don't. But nonetheless. But yes, Roots. Oh, there you go.
I love it. Yeah.
I wish I had told y'all we could have.
I know we just kind of
we're
still kind of exactly. I mean, I didn't see this Roots though.
Okay.
Honestly, I saw the first Roots.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's great that Roots, the reason behind my shout out, I guess, is that it's another generation
mm-hmm.
that's getting to hear and see this story. And just to also to your point, I remember watching 12 Years a Slave. Did you guys see?
Mm-hmm. Okay, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think it was in watching that movie that I saw almost the tearing of the soul and the madness of the master, know, the torment that his own hatred of what he had become,
right?
You know, how inhumane he had become. It was so unnatural.
Very true.
Yes.
You know, and that was whoa.
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't even, what was going on inside of him. It was literally a mental illness.
Yes, very true.
To go through something like that, so.
And that mental illness is passed on.
Yes.
That is something that is something that I've witnessed firsthand, where it's the sins of a father get passed down. And it's for whatever reason, it's just you just assume it is truth, but it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not budging off Roots either. I'm gonna stay there too. But I'll take the different angle. I will address Snoop. For those that don't know, really quickly,
you're shouting out Roland. Basically, it's what you're saying.
But yeah, real talk. Snoop, he called for a boycott of this Roots remake or whatever, because he was tired of seeing slaves and slavery films, and he said he wanted to see things that were great. Now,
was that Show Baraka or was that Snoop Lion?
Show and I have our different perspectives on this, but not dealing with that. Really, just people have said, people have taken Snoop to task on this, right? I mean, obviously Snoop was in Soul Plane. I don't know if that was doing great for things for our people. There was those sides of it, right?
Using his influence for good.
Yeah, but ultimately, my overall point thinking about it is that the reason why watching Roots is important is because it provides a context for the 20 plus years of Snoop's gangster rap pathology. The ideas of the vestiges of slavery go all the way to the effect to where you get current gang culture, to where you get the deification of the pimp, to where you get quote unquote black on black violence, and the levels of ways in which we attack one another. All of this puts in the context Doggy Style, Dogfather, all the way through his entire artistic canon. And so it's very ironic for him to be don't watch that, when really, if you did watch Roots and you did take an understanding of that history, it would provide a context for a lot of the issues that we see plaguing our community in our present form in this nature. And I also say, as an advocacy for this current Roots, I was very much nah, we don't need to remake Roots, just people need to see the older Roots. Really, having people who I know who actually worked as who worked as intellectual like advisors on this film. It is so much more accurate than
to the book
to actually Alex Haley's. Yeah, because there's these issues right with Alex Haley's plagiarism with his actual root story, like because there's parts of that that have long been kind of unfettered and be like, well, that actually couldn't have happened that way and whatever. But the ways in which it's actually like the things that they do, little small details about the tribe, the tribe of people that Kunta came from and how people were sold, you know, it's so many layers to it that this one actually brings out a lot better and more accurate than the current one. And I'll just last say, for the people who have issues with slave films, and I've said this before, and I can kind of understand, I can understand the perspective of saying there needs to be other things that are also talked about, but I have no issue with a slave film or films having to do with slavery in some tangential form, because I don't view our ancestors as victims. No. I view our people as brilliant fighters and warriors and survivors and people who held on to their humanity throughout just the most abominable thing, and no shade to the horrible abomination that was the Holocaust, but we're talking about something that occurred over 450 years, degradation of generation upon generation upon generation, and the fact that we are still here is a rising endorsement and an advertisement for one, God's grace, and then also just our resiliency as a people. So that's what I got about that.
Check out Underground if you haven't. Get the reruns. Get your reruns. Get your rerun game up.
Nonetheless, though, this is Off the Record, man. We try to do this frequently, and we're going to do it more frequently than we did before. But, man, please hit us up. We are online, all that jazz. And until next time,
Peace.
Curtains open, and I'm the maestro for this certain moment. Trying to take it sky high, so go alert the stoners. Fear got your guy almost on the verge of blowing it. Bravos, I hear the hand claps, and I know that this here could be my last chance. And I can't ever remember having this chance last. And in this second, this moment here will be past tense. Man, I'm past tense. I'm on the edge of a classic, but slacking. Got me on the edge of a has-been, too passive. Gotta snatch this moment before I pass it. And face this test like Steve Nash and pass it. I would not be crippled. Cast loaves in the oceans. Gotta see ripples. Excuses are useless. Tools that the fools pick. Only got one shot, but it feels like a full clip. For this one moment, patiently waiting in line just to get on it. These players hating on me, I gotta let it go. Put me in the game, coach, I got some better goals. This game's so foul, it's sort of pitiful. Tell your people go and grab a stone and get a free throw. And let them know, I love the Lord. But sometimes it's like that, I love me more. Seek his applause, break all your laws. We tear the roof off, homie, we don't need no doors. So now, I stand on top of this. Fear. I have strength in my esophagus. Hear me roar like a young lion. A team called Iron, a product from new science. My confession ain't no fear in me now. Just like an usher, it's my job to move crowds. Once upon a time, I lived in a world that was bound by fear. Escaped his hold, now life's reset. Then I was given grace to break the enemy's net. It's time for the conquerors.
Oh, it's my turn? Excuse me, the monster's up. Foe slaying, cruising in this monster truck. It's no playing, giving bruises in this Tonka truck. My circle's where the riders is. A couple Paul and Silas is, and Leonidas is. Kinda sickening how bold this virus is. No sniffling, but so cold like sinuses.
Make room for the misses, the crew full of misfits. Peruse your policies and hack through ICE systems. Intrude your embassies, sneak food to your listeners. Pilots, provisioners, and suicide bombers. Musical monsters, martyrs, quick to die for resigner. Yeah, this is our moment. We're facing our fear, cause faith has appeared. So baby, we'll take you from here.